Testament to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 22. Gospel of Matthew, chapter 22. And I am just going to preach tonight from five words. And I trust that at the end of the meeting, following the good message you've just heard, that the Lord will just send you home with these words on your heart. Matthew chapter 22, and I'm going to take these words out of verse 42. And I'll just tell you that the Lord Jesus had some people gathered around him. They did not like him, and they really were opposed to him. And so the Lord Jesus asked them a question. One simple question he asked them, and tonight I want to ask you. Matthew chapter 22 and verse 42. What think ye of Christ? Now, I'm going to immediately turn that into modern Canadian. Is that all right? And talk about six words. What do you think about Christ? That's a good text, isn't it? And I think after what we've been listening to, it's a perfect question. Because Mr. Hunt has been telling you that in Noah's day, everything came down to what Noah thought about that ark. I want to tell you tonight, in your future, everything comes down to this. What do you think about Christ? I am by nature a very curious person. For a great deal of the time that they were growing up in my house, I embarrassed my kids on a regular basis because I'm a curious guy. And if I see somebody doing something that I've never seen before, I got lots of questions. And if I hear somebody talking about a subject that I've never, don't know anything about, well, I just stick my nose right in. And to me, that's how you learn. And it introduces you to all sorts of very interesting things, asking questions. Now, there's a lot of questions that I could ask you tonight. I just had a very nice dinner tonight. Maybe I could ask you, maybe the waitress would ask you, do you like beef or chicken? What do you like, you know? Or maybe we could talk about what you drive. Do you drive Fords or Chevys? Maybe what kind of politics you're involved in. Are you a liberal or a conservative? Do you listen to country music or rock and roll? Do you root for the Montreal Canadiens or for the Toronto Maple Leafs? You know, all kinds of questions that would be really interesting to chat with you about. But here's the deal. When you step, as Mr. Hunt has been telling you, from time into eternity, it doesn't matter what's on your personal menu. It doesn't matter what's parked in your driveway. It doesn't matter what political persuasion is in power in Ottawa. It doesn't matter who your favorite hockey team is. What matters is one single thing. What do you think about Christ? When I was a young preacher, I used to do something terribly wrong. When I met people, I used to ask them a question, but it was a wrong question. I never ask anybody this question anymore. I used to say to people, are you a Christian? You say, well, what's wrong with that? Well, two things. People usually say yes or nope, and that's the end of the conversation. So it's not a very good conversation starter, number one. And number two, almost all people, no matter what kind of a life they're living, what kind of a relationship they have with God, everybody thinks yes is the right answer. So by the time you're done, you haven't learned anything. Here's what I've learned over the years, and I try to do this almost every day with people that I meet. I like to ask them this question. What do you think about Jesus Christ? You see, you can't just say yes or no. You can't just blow off the person that asks the question. This is a question that calls for some thought, some reflection. for a response from your heart. And I just hope there's somebody here tonight, just somebody, that would just in the quietness of your own heart, you don't have to speak up. That's my job to do the talking. But just in the quietness of your own heart, answer this question. What do I think about Christ? Am I depending on Him for my soul's salvation? Am I looking to Him to forgive my sins and to carry me through life and into eternity and into the Father's house? Is that what I think about Him? Or am I just not thinking about Him at all? Maybe just thinking about what I'm going to do at school tomorrow. Or maybe thinking about what I'm going to do at the Sunday school treat. Not that that's wrong, but nonetheless, let me tell you, if you and I were to step into eternity tonight, there's only one thing that matters. It's the answer to this question. What do you think about Christ? You know, I'm always interested when I start to talk about this to make a little point, and that's this. What you think about Christ is going to depend, first of all, on what you think about this book. Because there's no other reliable source of information about Him than this Holy Bible, God's eternal, unchanging Word. What do you think about the Bible tonight? Are you reading it? Are you interested in what it says? Because it's in this book that you will meet the Lord Jesus Christ. It just puts me in mind just now of a man I met recently. Really a funny story. He told me that he came to his first gospel meeting. A friend invited him, and he didn't believe in Christianity, and he didn't believe in the Bible at all. I guess his friend really twisted his arm to even get him to come to a meeting. And so he got to the meeting, and he sat there, and he listened to the man. And the man's text was the verse right over Mr. Hunt's head there, John 3:16. And the man really labored the verse, and he preached from it. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And every time he quoted the verse, he'd say where it was found. John 3:16. Well, the man thought, that's interesting. So he went home after the meeting, and he thought, you know, I didn't have a Bible with me. The man was just quoting this thing. He said, I wonder if that's really in the Bible. So he went over to the bookcase, and he had an old Bible in there. Maybe it would belong to his grandmother, and he got it down, and he blew the dust off the thing. And he opened up to John 3:16. This is what he read. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives to the brethren. He thought, that's funny. And so he went and found his friend, and he was in a rage. He said, I went to that church of yours, and you said that everything depends on the Bible. And the man said he was preaching from John 3:16. He said, I looked it up. And there's nothing about God's only begotten Son. There's nothing about whosoever believeth in Him. There's nothing about perishing. And there's nothing about everlasting life. He says, you boys were just telling me a big lie. And the man looked at him and smiled and said, sir, he said, the problem is you were looking at 1 John 3:16, because John 3:16 does say, for God so loved the world. Well, dear friend, tonight, listen. This book that we hold in our hands is infinitely more important than anything Mr. Hunt and I will ever say. I hope that we're reliable men. I hope that every night we tell you the truth. I hope that we will never, ever lead you astray. But I want to tell you something. We could. That's why the only refuge for searching souls is this wonderful book that speaks so clearly about the lovely person of the Lord Jesus. Do you want to have right thoughts about Him? I want to tell you, you need thoughts that come from this blessed book. You know, I was thinking today, as I thought about this little question, what do you think about Christ? I was thinking about some of the things that people say when we ask that question. I talked to a man just the other day before I came up here to Canada, and we were talking about the Lord Jesus, and he looked very piously at me, and he said, you know, he said, the Lord Jesus was a great teacher. Well, now, what would you have said? Well, I know what I said. I said, good. You know, yeah, the Lord Jesus was a wonderful teacher. You know, I don't know what your experience was in school. I remember the little country school that I went to. I went through junior high school, and I was really struggling. I didn't like my teachers, and I didn't like the subjects that I was studying, and my mother was mad at me, I'll tell you. And but, you know, I remember my very first day in high school. I met a little French lady. Her name was Mrs. Daniel. I'll never forget her. And she was as old as dinosaurs, but there was something about that lady that just got my heart. She loved her students, and I'll tell you, you didn't know her for about 10 minutes before you loved her in return. I spent 4 years learning Latin in that dear lady's class. I know you may think that was 4 years of wasted time, but actually it was a great blessing. And, you know, I just discovered a lady that was a wonderful teacher. You know, I want to tell you tonight, the Lord Jesus was a wonderful teacher. You know the problem that I have with people who say he's a wonderful teacher? Actually, the Lord Jesus himself put his finger on it. He said, why do you say to me, Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? Listen, friend, there's no refuge for you in just piously saying, well, I think he's a great teacher, because I've got a question for you. Why don't you do what he says? You see, lots of people want to make him a great teacher, a great philosopher, a great thinker. You know what the problem with all that is? They're unwilling to do what he says. He said that people were to repent of their sin. They were to turn from their sin. They were to receive him. And people go on in their sins, and they fool themselves into thinking that, well, he's a great teacher, is good enough. I want to tell you something. It's nice to think of him that way. He was a great teacher. He spoke the very words of God. In fact, on one occasion he said, ye seek to kill me, a man who told you the truth. I'll tell you what a great title that is for the Lord Jesus, isn't it? A man who told you the truth. But I want to tell you something. A great teacher will not get you to heaven. You know, there are other people, and they say, well, you know, Mr. Shutt, when I think about the Lord Jesus, I think of him as a great example. You know, what would you say to that? Well, you know, I'm glad when people say that. I always compliment them on their insight because the Lord Jesus was a wonderful example. You know, I have to say this, that one of the things that seems to be sadly missing in our world tonight are good examples. You know, it really bugs me. I talk to kids a lot, you know, and I say, you know, who are your heroes? Who are you interested in? And they name off somebody they've seen on TV or somebody they've seen in the movies or somebody. And, you know, my heart just sinks. Because, you know, as good as they are at hitting a baseball or shooting a hockey puck or as good as they are in a movie or something like that, you know that those people are not good people. Some of them lead horrifying lives. Some of them just live flaunting any thought of God or of righteousness. It is interesting to me that there was a man who stepped into our world who was an absolutely perfect man. You know, I always admired my dad and my grandfather. They were very much alike. And for me, they were wonderful examples. I often tell people this. I don't know if you believe this, but I'll just tell you the truth. I never, in all the years I knew my dad, I never heard my dad tell a lie. Now, I don't know. I think there's probably other people here, and I know who your dads were, and maybe you'd say exactly the same thing. But that's one thing I would say about my dad. I never heard my dad tell a lie. But, you know, as good as that is, and by the way, if my father were still living and in this audience, he'd probably come up here and haul me off the platform for saying that. But, you know, the problem is I'm sure my dad did tell lies. He just didn't do it in front of me. Because my dad, however good he was, see, he was still a sinner, too. But you know, there was a man in this world, and he was absolutely flawless. Can I tell you about this Savior tonight? You know, it may not seem all that important to you, but this is crucial. You see, remember what I was just saying about him being a great teacher? He always told the truth. You see, the reason that's important is because one day on the cross, he said, "It is finished." And you see, if you can't depend on that completely, then there's going to be no salvation for you. I'll tell you something else. When I talk about the Lord Jesus being a great example, if he was not absolutely sinless, then there's no way he could have carried our sins on the cross. You see, I'm not just picking these things out at random. These are actually crucial to the person of the Christ that we're going to encourage you to trust and put your faith in tonight. And so some folks say he was a great example, and indeed he was. There's other people, and this is one I really do enjoy when people tell me. You know, they say, I think he's a great friend. Now, I have to tell you something. The Lord Jesus, for every person in this room that is saved, is the greatest friend they ever had. You know, my best friend is my wife. I have known her for almost 40 years now. And I wake up every morning and I'm in awe of the fact that she ever married me in the first place and ever put up with me for the last 35 or 36 years. That just blows me away. But she's my best friend. And you know something? She sticks with me through thick and thin. And I got to tell you that being married to a preacher probably isn't the greatest occupation in the world. But I dearly love my wife. And she is indeed my best friend in the world. But you know, I have a friend that's better than Debbie. And that's the Lord Jesus. You see, the day may come. I'm older than my wife, so this probably will not happen. But, I mean, there's a day that could come that my wife could pass away ahead of me. There's people in the room, they've had that experience. And I wouldn't have her anymore. I couldn't, she would not be there to comfort me. We couldn't enjoy each other's presence. There would be an absence there, and there's nothing that could really repair that. But I want to tell you something. People who are saved tonight have a friend. This is what the Bible says. He will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I think that's just the most wonderful thing in the world. In a world where people are just desperate for anything, desperate for a friend, desperate for somebody they can depend on, desperate for someone that they can trust. You know, I just got to tell you, tonight's great to talk about the Lord Jesus. He's never let anybody down. He's the greatest friend that a sinner could ever find. And for those of us even who are saved, I learned to him many, many years ago. And I'm not a great singer. I just sing in my car, and the dashboard can't talk back. But, you know, I love that hymn. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. Here's what I want to really get to before I close tonight. If I were to stand, and I'm just saying this because this isn't how it works, but I'm just using this as an illustration. Lots of people think in these terms, so I'm just going to take it for what it is. But if I were tonight, maybe to go to bed and maybe have a heart attack. My father had a massive heart attack and died in his sleep when he was only 7 years older than I am now. So, you know, maybe it could happen to me. And I were to stand in that moment before God, and he were to say to me, "What do you think of my son?" I'm going to tell you some things I'm not going to say. I'm not going to say he's a great teacher. And I'm not going to say he's a wonderful example. And I'm not going to say he's the best friend I ever had. I'll tell you what I am going to say. I'm going to say, you want to know what I think about him? He's my Savior. You see, all the teaching in the world won't take away my sin. And all the good example in others won't do anything to restore my relationship with God. And even the greatest friend in all the world cannot change my life and my soul and my destiny. What we need tonight is a Savior. I tell you tonight, isn't the gospel good news? I tell you, you know, when Mr. Noah woke up on the morning that it was going to rain, you know, it was pretty good news to look out. I don't know if he lived in a house or a tent. I don't know. But it was a good job to see that ark with an open door. And you know, just when God said to him, "Go into the ark." You know, I don't think Noah walked around the ark to see if everything was okay. I don't think Noah spent a lot of time thinking about what kind of wood went into it or, you know, or how much freeboard it had or anything, whether he had a GPS or anything like that. You know, he just went into the ark. And that ark became his Savior. My friend tonight, let me tell you. What you need tonight more than anything else in the world, you boys and girls that are here, everybody that's gathered, we're grateful to have you here. And I'm glad to be able to sum up everything I have to say tonight. 20 minutes worth of talking, all summarized in one sentence. Tonight, you need a Savior. And tonight, there is a Savior. And He wants to save you. You know, He's the one that's able to remove your sins. He's the one that is able to give you perfect peace. He's able to take away the doubt and the anxiety. He's able to give you assurance. He's able to give you everlasting life. But you know, there's something I want to close with. I've just got 3 minutes. If I were to turn the pages of Matthew's gospel just to the right, just a little bit, I come to another little question, and it goes like this. You remember our first question? What do you think about Christ? Here's the second question. It comes from a man named Pilate. It's just this. What will I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? See, folks, this is how I want to end the meeting. I hope this will impress you. You see, what you think about Him is going to determine what you do with Him. You see, if Mr. Noah had gotten up, I'm sorry, I just keep coming back and re-preaching his message here, but, you know, if Mr. Noah had gotten up and thought, you know, I've never seen a rainstorm, I've never seen a flood, I don't know if this big contraption that I built out in my backyard, I haven't the faintest clue what's going to happen, and he marched around with his hands in his pocket and went back into his house, you know something? That man would have perished with the rest of the world. But he had confidence in what God had provided. And as a result of what he thought about the ark, he did something. Do you know what he did? He gathered up his family and he went into the ark. By the way, I want to just say something that Brother David didn't say. It wasn't part of his message, but it's something I like to say. Do you know how many people went into the ark? Does anybody know? How many? You've got it. Brother Williams got it right off the top of his head. 8 people went in the ark. Anybody here want to guess how many people came out of the ark? What do you think? 8? 8 in, 8 out. What's that mean? I'll tell you what it means. It means that people who trust in God's provision are absolutely safe. There wasn't one lost. Nobody overboard. Nobody through the porthole. No, no. 8 people went in and the storm came. And on the other side, when the sun broke on that new world, there were 8 people that came out. I want to tell you, you can trust the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. He's not going to lose you. He's never lost one yet. And He's not about to start. Listen to what He says. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Man, that's what you need tonight. You really do. You need a Savior. You need a salvation. You need this security of knowing that trusting Christ, that settles everything. You just go home, will you? And remember this question. Maybe just jot it on a little piece of paper and think about it before you go to sleep, or maybe think about it tomorrow morning. What do you think about Christ? And here's the second half. What am I going to do with this man who wants to be my Savior? Let's pray.